السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اتل ما اوحي اليك من الكتاب واقم الصلاه ان الصلاه تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله اكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. صدق الله العظيم. ان عشاء صلاه. Ulama Ikram, respected brothers and all our sisters listening over receivers at the madrasa. In the Isha Salat again you heard the recitation of Suratul Qadr. Now Suratul Qadr we know deals with Laylatul Qadr. And Laylatul Qadr came in the month of Ramadan. And if we live and we get another opportunity, then we will search for Laylatul Qadr in the next Ramadan. If Allah Ta'ala gives us life. And if not, then we must believe that those flights have left and we have missed them. Nevertheless, listening to Laylatul Qadr, nobody said that this ayat of the Quran Sharif refers to the night of power, the night of majesty, the night of grandeur, Laylatul Qadr. And the virtues of Laylatul Qadr were discussed abundantly in the month of Ramadan. So this verse now must not be recited outside Ramadan. Nobody will say that. Until the Quran Sharif will remain in our hands, or until the Quran Sharif will remain in the hearts, until the day of Qiyamah, people who will recite the Quran Sharif from beginning to end, they will recite this verse or this surah, Suratul Qadr. Whether it comes a day after Ramadan, or it comes 6 months after Ramadan, or any time in Salat, but the person will read it. Giving us a very important lesson that the Quran Sharif is not for one particular night. It wasn't revealed for one particular month. It was not revealed for some special year in the calendar. The Quran Sharif is for all times, and we must repeatedly read these ayat and repeatedly take lessons. There are so many things that are discussed in this ayat, and we must keep on taking lessons. So in the same way, this verse which I recited before you now, it is part of the Quran Sharif. It is recited in Taraweeh. It is recited whenever a person is making a khatam of the Quran Sharif, then he will come across it. So in the month of Ramadan, in the morning program, the short time that we used to have, a few minutes, 15 to 20 minutes, we discussed this verse of the Quran Sharif. And I mentioned there that this verse of the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, first of all, just to give you the gist of it, that first of all, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala instructs Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself that he must recite the verses that were revealed upon him. He must recite of the book, that means Quran Sharif, that which was revealed, he must recite it. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it is being revealed upon him, but he is told that you must recite it. So that deals with the recitation of the Quran Sharif, the words of the Quran Sharif. Now that is a different subject, I am not discussing that tonight. But tilawat of the Quran Sharif is a function of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Of his different functions and duties, one was yatlu alayhim ayatihi, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. So one was the recitation of the Quran Sharif, rehearsal of these ayat. Then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala immediately after that orders, وَأَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةِ. And that is the point that I'm going to repeat. وَأَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةِ. And establish salat. We have a new audience, so I discussed in detail that one is the performance of salat. We say the person made his salat. And some say he read his salat. And some will say he raised his salat. So different kinds of words are used. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala uses the word aqim is salah, to make something straight. To establish salat here means that the faraiz, the wajibat, the sunnat, the mustahabbat, all the things that are required to make that salat a proper salat, the person takes that into consideration. Then that khushu and khuzu which is required in salat, that humility, that khawf of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that dedication, that sincerity, that commitment, all those things are required in that salat. Unfortunately, what has happened is we are giving a lot of attention and a lot of importance to wazifas, wazaif. When a person becomes bayat also, the first thing he wants to know, which wazifa must I read? Everybody wants wazifa. So there's no doubt that there is barakat in those wazaif, but those wazifas are generally recommended by our mashayikh for the same reason, so that we spiritually purify our hearts, so that we remove that rust which has settled on our hearts, in order that we may enjoy that salat which we are making, to make us enjoy that sajda before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and to make us get that sweetness of iman in our hearts, and to get us that lazzat and enjoyment in communicating with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There is a need for purification of that heart. Because when a person commits a sin, one spot falls on that heart. Another sin, another spot. And it continues like that. If the person makes sincere tawbah, then it is washed away. If it is the rights of people, he has to fulfill those rights. Injustices he cannot get away with. If it's inheritance which he has taken, which was not due to him, he must return that. If he has sworn someone, has abused someone, then ask for forgiveness. But once he has done that, then that spot is removed, that heart becomes white again. But if he does not do that, then it continues falling on his heart, black spots, if he's going to carry on and on, then it will turn pitch black. And when it turns pitch black, then the physical heart will still appear the same color. It's not that if you remove the heart of a disbeliever, his heart will have some other kind of color, and when you remove the heart of a believer and a waliullah, then his heart will be pure white. It doesn't mean that. But the spiritual side of it, because of the darkness, nothing will take effect on that heart, because it has turned pitch black. You can read Quran Sharif from one end to the other. You can give him 1001 nasihats. You can read all the ahadith of the Sahih Sitta, the six books, authentic books of Hadith Sharif. And at the end of the day, the person will still continue indulging in all those sins and vices, because the heart has turned black. He hasn't made sincere tawbah. So that is why they give some wazifa. Read this tasbih, read that tasbih so many times, so many times. And the purpose of that is so that the heart becomes a little clean. And if it becomes a little clean, then that person will start enjoying. That person will start getting a lazzat, an enjoyment. Now that sajda will be a different kind of sajda. Now that ruku will be a different kind of ruku. If you look at the whole congregation, everybody will be making the same kind of ruku. Bending the body and holding the knees. Now that is ruku. So the whole congregation will be making that kind of ruku. And when it is sajda time, again everybody will prostrate, they'll go on the ground, they'll put their forehead on the ground, their nose on the ground, will say that he has made sajda. So the entire congregation will be making that kind of sajda. the outward form will be the same. It's not that the sajda of the waliullah will be that he'll go on the ground and his forehead will be on the ground. And the sajda of the person who is not waliullah, he will remain standing. The outward form will be the same. But in the sajda of that waliullah, the sajda of the person who has got a purified heart, the person will be as if his forehead is at the arsh of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He is on the farsh here, on the ground, but he is as if, because Allah ta'ala does not have hands and feet, as if he is at the feet of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The sajda will be a different kind of sajda. The ruku will be a different kind of ruku. He will read the same three tasbihs. He will read the same three tasbihs in sajda. Not necessary that he will read 1 million and one tasbih. But that little tasbih too that he will read, that little while too that he'll have his forehead there, it will be as if he is making mi'raj. The mi'raj of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was above the arsh. And the mi'raj of the mu'min is when he's making sajda on the ground here. The mi'raj of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam was in the stomach of the whale, deep down the ocean, in the darkness of the night. That is where he called out to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala heard and listened to Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam right down there, and he listened to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam right up there. So this was Mi'raj al-Mu'mineen. So iqamat of salat, which has become unfortunately a thing which we give no concern to. So we give very much importance to wazifas. And if somebody is reading a lot of nafil namaz, we will say the person is very pious. But the person who is perfecting his first salat, we are not going to give him any kind of importance. Yet the qurb of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the person gets through his faraiz. Although nawafil etc. it has been mentioned for qurb of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But faraiz is, does not mean that it is farz, so now we have to make it and get over it and get out of it. That is our first salat at present. How many of us really take the first salat to be a mi'raj, that we are proceeding to the masjid now, or even at home if the person cannot make it to the masjid because he's sick, or he's got some other kind of problem, or is far away from a masjid, because without any valid reason the person should not stay away from the masjid. That kind of salat is not even valid according to the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So now the person is proceeding for salat. Now how many of us, when we were making wuzu for the first salat, then we really thought that now we are going to enter into communication with our beloved Allah, and that He is waiting for us now to come and start with Surah Fatiha and then get down into ruku and sajda. And then when we will be in sajda, then we will be before Allah. We will be in a different world altogether. Just as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam left this world and he went up, his heart was washed in the water of Zamzam, and then he was taken above the seven heavens. So this banda of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he cannot remove his heart and go and wash it in the water of Zamzam. Imagine if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had to order us that for salat, if you want salat and if you want mi'raj, then first you must undergo an operation, have your heart removed like how they do for bypass, and then have it washed in the water of Zamzam. So once in a lifetime you'll get that opportunity to make that sajda. And that too if the person can afford it. Just like the person going for Hajj, we say if he can afford going for Hajj, if he has the means of going for Hajj, then he can go for Hajj. Then it'll become farz upon him. And then there's all the details of it, what we mean by means, there's a detail to it. Because in our sight nowadays, means that first we must have enough money for ourselves, for our wives, for our mothers and fathers, and for our grandchildren, and then we can go for Hajj. If the person has got sufficient for himself to go for Hajj and come back and leave behind enough for his wife and children, so then he does not consider that as sufficient. So if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had to make it such that the person who wants this closeness to me. He wants a miraj. As I gave to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that his heart was washed in water of Zamzam when he came up. So every mu'min now, first you must undergo some operation, have your heart removed, have it washed in Zamzam, and then come up. Who would have been able to afford? Look at Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ihsan upon the ummah, and 5 times a day, he says. 5 farz he made 5 times a day. It is for miraj. Allah ta'ala wants to give something. He wants to give his closeness. He wants to give his muhabbat. It's not a burden that Allah ta'ala is imposing. And the first thing that will leave the ummah will be the khushu and khuzu of the salat. People will be making salat. Musallis will increase. But that humility in salat will be leaving the hearts of the people. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. That this salat, it restrains a person. Fahsha, all those things that any sensible person will consider as obscene, shameless, indecent. And munkar, all those things that Shariat has declared as immoral, obscene, shameless. Or whatever Shariat has declared as prohibited. So this salat will restrain the person from that. Now there are so many ahadith and other things related to this. I'm not going into tafsir or any detail. I want to get to that discussion of another ayat. But from here we went on to that ayat that morning, where my mind suddenly moved in another direction. And I truly believe that this was at that time something that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala put in my mind. That here Allah ta'ala is saying that this salat will restrain the person. And I explain that if it is not restraining a person, then there is something wrong with his salat. That salat which is not restraining the person from haram. So in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, there is not salat. We will say that his farz, he made adha. But in reality, he has not really made salat. Because that person who left everything, he made wuzu, and then he stands before Allah ta'ala, and he makes Allahu Akbar. And now he's obeying Allah Ta'ala in every aspect. Where there's supposed to be qira'at, he's making qira'at. Where there's supposed to be ruku, he's making ruku. In ruku, his heart desires that he wants to read the Qur'an Sharif and make extra mujahada, read 10 paras of the Qur'an Sharif in ruku. But he does not do that. He reads tasbih, because that is what he has been instructed. When he says Sami'a Allahu liman hamida, then if the Imam Sahib after that starts reciting Surah Baqarah, will anybody be happy about that? Now if the Imam Sahib says, I didn't play tabla, dolak and sarangi, I was reading Surah Baqarah, what's your problem with that? What will we say? That is not the occasion for Surah Baqarah. That is the occasion for Rabbana lakal hamd. That is what we have been taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In his sajda, he does the same thing. Tashahud, just look at tashahud. The raising of the kalima finger on Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Now there we all raise our finger. Now where did that come from? Look at our deen, how authentic. And how we can take it right back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his practices. Just one small amal like that, the raising of the finger on Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. It's coming right down from 1400 years. Our azan is coming from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's time. Our namaz is coming from that time. So if anybody adds to the azan, or reduces from the azan, or adds to the iqamah, or reduces from the iqama, or adds to the salah, or reduces from the salah, we'll say it's not acceptable. Because this has been ordered by Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Some people, they add to the azan. Shias add to the azan. So many others add to the azan. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that this namaz, this is what it should be really doing, restraining a person. If it's not restraining, So then it means that there is a weakness, there is a deficiency in his salah. So find where the deficiency is. If it is due to the tremendous amount of pressure that we have at our workplaces, or the commitments that we have of our business houses, or the other things that we engage and indulge in, or some people, because they are very paband with salat, 5 times salat they make. So whilst they're watching the television also, and the cricketer hit for a 6, but now they'll miss salat. So they rush for salat and then catch up again quickly what they missed. Or if it is the last man batting still, so they want to make the salat speedily so they can go and catch up again. Or if they're watching some serial, so they must go and catch up with it. So that is the kind of salat. And that's why it doesn't bring us any kind of real happiness and reward. Otherwise, this same salat, look what it gave to the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu ajma'in. That is a subject we can discuss and go on and on. And wala zikrullahi akbar, and the greatest thing is the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this ayat of the Quran Sharif took my mind onto this ayat of the Quran, or another ayat of the Quran Sharif, in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala ordered the malaika, after having created Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam out of sand, out of clay, Allah ta'ala said, now make sajda to him. So when he said, was make sajda, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, and in many ayat it is mentioned, but in this one Allah ta'ala says, فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. All of them made sajda. All together they made sajda. Illa Iblis. Except Iblis. Iblis was of the jinn, but he was living with the angels. And he was a great abid, great abid. He worshipped so much that there was no place left where he didn't make sajda. Great abid. He was an abid, he was an alim also. If he was not an alim, he cannot mislead the ulama. And he was an arif also. When he was being rejected, at that time he's saying, give me life till the day of Qiyamah. But he was not an ashik of Allah Ta'ala. The hukam of Allah Ta'ala he was not prepared to obey. So everyone bowed down to Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, made sajda to Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and this was in that sharia, or that was the hukam of Allah Ta'ala, therefore they made that sajda. But we can't take this and say that now because the angels were told that they must make sajda to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, so what does it matter if we make sajda now to human beings? No matter how great that wali, or how great that shaykh, or how great that peer sahab. But if that peer sahab does not stop the person from making sajda to him, then he is a shaitan himself. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that if it had been permissible to make sajda to anyone besides Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then I would have ordered the women folk to make sajda to their husbands, showing the right of the husband. But I've repeatedly said that the husbands also have to play their role and part. They must command respect. They must not demand respect. Their akhlaq and their character must be such that those wives, they respect them. And they love them. And they will do anything for them. They will give their lives for their husbands. But when the husbands are going to behave in the same manner. But if the husband wants to be arrogant, bossy, and demanding, and fussy, and all the time nagging and grumbling, and shouting and screaming just because he is a husband, then you think those wives will love him. Look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how his wives dearly loved him. Look at his akhlaq. Whole month of Ramadan I was discussing akhlaq, and inshallah we will go on discussing. So here they all bowed down because it was a hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, except Iblis. The different places Iblis said different things, but they all virtually boiled down to the same thing. For example, he said, خَلَقْتَهُ مِن نَار وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَار وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِين, that you created me of fire and created him of earth, of sand. Meaning that sand is something that's trampled upon. So that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam should be told that he should bow down to him. In other words, he's debating with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So here also that is what he actually said. But without going into the details, when he refused to make this sajda, and he gave all kinds of excuses that why he was not making that sajda. And his main reason was this, that Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was created from dust, from sand. So then what did Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala say to him? And that is the point. Open the ears of the heart and listen. Wallah, it shakes the person's heart up if he is not a namazi. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, what did he say? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, قَالَ فَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ اللَّعْنَةَ إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. As we will say, get out from here. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, look at the intense anger. Get out from here. And not only that, but Allah ta'ala says, you are a cursed one, rejected one. In other words, I don't want to see you anymore, how we say. Get out of my sight. You are hated, you are disliked, how we tell sometimes to somebody that we dislike. Or the person has been really, really very annoying and has been arrogant or has said something or done something that has really irritated us and we are boiling with anger. Then at that time we say, get out, I don't want to see you anymore. Don't come front of me. You are rejected. I curse you, I hate you, I dislike you. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is telling to shaitan that get out from here. You are accursed. You are rejected. And then not only that, immediately after that Allah ta'ala says, wa inna alayka al-la'nata ila yawmiddin. And this curse of mine is not just for this 1 minute or 10 minutes or half an hour. As we say that after some time then it's okay, everything cool down. Allah ta'ala says, this curse of mine is upon you till the day of judgment. Now look at the period of time that this curse of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is upon shaitan. Why? Because he refused to make one sajda on the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. One sajda on the hukam of Allah ta'ala he refused to make. Allah ta'ala said, curse until the day of qiyamah. Now let us look at our lives. How many salats in our lives have we missed? 5 times a day we are told that we must make sajda to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. How many people in our homes who are baligh, baligh boys, baligh girls, adult men, women, this hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, 5 times a day, oh my servants, bow down, make sajda, aqeemus salah, aqeemus salah. Time is up now, aqeemus salah. And not only that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has got reminders. Reminders, hayya ala salah, come towards salah now. Now whose hukam is that? That muazzin, is he saying it from his side? The muazzin just decided that, no, let me climb on to the minara or get to the mic and shout and call everybody. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made that arrangement. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala salah. Therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, look at the harsh words that he has used. Al-jafa kullu al-jafa wal-kufr wal-nifaq man sami'a munadiyan yunadi ila salat fala yujibuhu. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. Injustice, terrible injustice this person has done. It is kufr. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying kufr. Nifaq, hypocrisy. The person who heard the call of the caller calling towards salat and he did not respond. If we look at our homes, if we look at our bazaars, if we look at our business houses, If you look at our marketplaces, our schools, our colleges, our universities, our airports, our railway stations, our aeroplanes, and everywhere. So much so that Hujjaj, who are just returning from Mina and Arafat, how many of them are seen missing the Salat while they are, because very tired. They're extremely tired, exhausted, spent 5 days making Ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, made Hajj. They got the title Haji Sahib. So therefore now the person is tired. He cannot make Salat. Jidda airport, they're sitting relaxed. Salat time is going. We have seen it with our own eyes. Go to the walimas, go to the weddings, go to our other programs, go to the functions, go to the institutions of deen. The Quran and Hadith is being taught. And look at our conferences and seminars on Islam. Problems facing the Muslim Ummah, solutions to the problems of the Ummah, those things are being discussed, papers are being presented. I have attended many, many conferences. Those days there were hardly any ulama here. Conferences, seminars, and all those things. We have seen so many people presenting such beautiful papers. And when the Salah time came, the person is nowhere to be seen. So if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's curse on shaitan fell ila yawmiddin, until the day of qiyamah, for refusing to make one sajda, how much curse of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must be descending upon those people, on those homes in which there are so many people who are sleeping. So many people sleeping. No sajda is being made. Or if they're not sleeping, then salat is not present in their lives. It is considered to be a trivial thing if a person has to discuss salat in a bayan these days. Say there are important issues, major issues in people's lives. Look at what the ummah is being confronted with. And up till now you talk about salat. But if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the position of salat in deen is like the position of the head in the human body, how many times you heard? There can be a person who is deaf, dumb and blind, that we can understand. There can be a person who has got no hands, who has got no feet, and is deaf, dumb and blind, but is still alive. If somebody has to shoot him, he will be arrested for murder. But if a person doesn't have a head, then he is dead. If he doesn't have a head, then he is dead. Which means that if the person doesn't have salat in his life, then according to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that person is dead. His iman is dead. That is the reason he says last, that man taraka salat muta'ammidan faqad kafar. So he's saying injustice, great injustice this person has done. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says it's kufr and it's hypocrisy that he hears the caller calling towards salat, he doesn't respond. Can any one digest this kind of titles? And who is giving it? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The one who is rahmatul lil alameen, who came as a mercy unto the worlds. But you can see in his words also how much of anger there is. On the one hand, look at the words of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. فَخْرُجْ فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ اللَّعْنَةَ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. Such intense anger. And look at these words of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. What intense anger. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is so angry, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is so angry. Then if the person says, no rahmat in my life, no peace in my home, there's nothing but world wars carrying on all the time at loggerheads, then it shows that there is something wrong. And if we look at it, besides the other problems, it doesn't mean all the time or every time it is the salat. But in the majority of the people's homes, if the husband is a namazi, the wife is not a namazi. If the wife is making namaz and the husband is reading newspapers and watching TV, and she has to nag and nag for the person to get out of his house and go to the masjid. And then finally he will say, mind your own business. And if you look at the young boys and young girls, then they haven't got time from their video and from the movies and from the computers and from the cell phones to make salat. Don't look at the small percentage that we see in our masajid. How many times I've said that, go Fajr time in the summer, make a tour of the masajid in summer. Go around the country. In summertime they say Fajr Salat is too early. And when it comes winter, then they say it is too cold. So sometimes it's too early, sometimes it's too cold. And sometimes they say, now I'm gone very old, can't make it to the masjid. So when you were young, how much you made it that you're talking about now you're old, you can't make it. The Hadith Sharif talks about fear being one of the things, reasons why a person can sometimes make his salat at home. But it's not just the fear that a person has, which is in his head. Because if that kind of fear is preventing him from coming to the masjid, so then he mustn't come out during the day also. He mustn't go to his business. He mustn't go anywhere. He must be at home all the time. But if at that time he is told that there is now a certain spot, if you go there with all your merchandise, then you'll make 100% profit. Then see how the person quickly loads his van and is gone. Or if somebody informs the fisherman that this is the right time now, the fish are biting. 4 o'clock morning, but the fish are biting. And I just got message from somebody that all the grunters and barracudas and everything is biting. And by the way, the barracudas, I mentioned that when the ship came to Durban, so the people in the ship from India, they were coming first time. So one big fish jumped. So they said, barracuda. So from this, they said, barracuda. It's a big one jump, barracuda. It's a barracuda. So now if somebody informs the fisherman that fish are biting, then at that time will he say there's khawf and fear in the house? That time how he takes his rod and runs. So there's no azmat of this namaz in our hearts. When the azmat of Allah Ta'ala will come, kibriyai of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then we'll fulfill his ahkam without asking questions. So we can see on the one hand the Quran Sharif uses words which of intense anger of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Just on one sajda. Now the person was all his life missing sajdas. So 70% of the ummah today, there's no salat in their lives. Then if somebody crushes them and smashes them and kills them and loots them and all that, then we say ummah, ummah. But according to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there's no iman. So we have to make that effort. We have to start, get our priorities right. So those who are not making salat, they must start making salat. Those who are making salat, then start checking. How much has my salat improved over the years? Or is my salat exactly like the one that I started off when I became baligh and of age? Then the first salat that I made, and after 50 years my salat is the same, or sometimes even worse than that one. Because that one, at least the person was thinking how to read, what to read. Now the person has read, he's become an old musalli now. Says, I'm old in the game now. There's one new Muslim, revert, and another old Muslim. So both of them were making salat. The person was making salat for 50 odd years. So in a short time he finished his salat and he was out. And the other person was taking his time and read. When he came outside, he says, took you so quick you finished salat. He said, no, you see, I'm an old Muslim. Old Muslim I am. So my salat finishes faster than yours. So we have to check whether our salat is an improvement. And believe me, wallah, I can take qasam in the masjid. What can we do now? We have to take qasams also. That improve the quality of that salat. We don't say that you must read 100 times tasbih and all. Even if you're reading just 3 times tasbih, and even if you're reading inna atwaina and qul huwallah, but make the ruku properly, make the sajda properly, and bring that conscious awareness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala into that salat. And enjoy that salat when you're going in sajda. Truly think that now my head is at the feet of my beloved Allah, and how kind He is, and how merciful He is, and how forgiving He is, and how loving He is. That in spite of my weakness and shortcomings and deficiencies, but he gave me the tawfiq and he blessed me with the opportunity to make this sajda to him. Otherwise I was the one deserving of the same words that he used for shaitan. Get out from there. Because he knows my akhlaq and character and amal. We were deserving of that, but Allah Ta'ala gave us the opportunity. Now when my beloved servants come, make salat. So when the azan is called, then the aashiqana tarjuma of that azan, ay mere pyare bando, main tumhe yaad kar raha hoon, jaldi jaldi wuzu karke mere samne aakar sajda karo, jaldi jaldi mere god mein aa jao. So the servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala rush, they make wuzu and they come to Allah tabaraka. May Allah Ta'ala give us azmat of the Quran Sharif, azmat of the Salat, azmat of Allah Ta'ala Himself, and make us perform such kind of Salat which will make us receive Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's rahmat in abundance. But I repeat that don't give up the Salat which you are already making, irrespective of how weak and deficient it may be. To improve that salat, but don't leave that salat. Keep on asking Allah Ta'ala for maafi and forgiveness for the weakness, and keep on improving. Inshallah, the day will come when we will begin to enjoy that closeness of Allah Ta'ala in that sajda of ours too. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya Rahim, Ya Kareem, Ya Mawla, Ya Sattar Al-Quyub, Ghaffar Al-Zunub Allah. Hamara haal wohi hai jo oont ka haal hai, ke kisi ne kaha, oont re oont, teri kun si kal si di. Ya Allah, we are just like the camel, which part of the camel's body is straight. We are like the dog's tails, my beloved Allah. But we are turning towards you. You are Rahim, you are Kareem, you are most forgiving, most merciful. Ya Allah, there is no one for us besides you. You are Sattar al-Uyub, Ghaffar al-Zunub Allah. You are most compassionate, most loving, most caring, most beneficent, most merciful. Ya Allah, forgive all our sins, major and minor. Ya Allah, we have been very, very negligent in all our actions in amal. So much so that even our salat does not have that khushu and that khuzu that is required. My beloved Allah, we have great amount of deficiency in all our actions. But we are turning towards you and seeking forgiveness. Change the condition of our hearts. Purify and clean our hearts so that we get lazzat and enjoyment in our tilawat, in our ibadat, in our salat. Ya Allah, bless us with your qurb, with your marifat, with your yaqeen. Ya Allah, give us the enjoyment in our sajda of miraj. My beloved Allah, tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi, tere siwa koi hamara nahi. If you have to turn away your glance of forgiveness and mercy because of our sins, then where do we go? Ere Mawla, hum kidhar jaye? Ya Allah, we are living in a vicious environment. Whichever way we look, there is nothing but fitnas. The storms of fitnas are lashing at us from all sides. But my beloved Allah, whomsoever you protect, shaitan cannot harm. Ya Allah, distance us from nafs and shaitan. Become ours and make us yours. Forgive our sins, forgive our parents, our wives and children, our family members and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, our hands and feet, our heart and mind. Ya Allah, hum sabko ek bana de aur nek bana de. Bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirat. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Whether they're in hospitals, clinics, homes or amongst us. Ya Allah, clean and purify our hearts of spiritual ailments. My beloved Allah, clean and purify our hearts of malice, of greed, of pride, of arrogance. My beloved Allah, give us the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless the ummah, my beloved Allah, with your rahmat, with your forgiveness. Overlook their shortcomings, weaknesses and faults. Whosoever is suffering any kind of hardship, difficulty, pain, problem, remove the difficulties and problems. Ya Allah, shower your rahmat upon us. Ek din marna hai, akhir maut hai. Don't let the angel of death visit us in any kind of haram action. When the time of our death comes, take us to Madina Tayyibah. Bless us with death in Madina Tayyibah. Burial in Baqi. Ya Allah, Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made duas for us. How much he begged for us. How much he cried for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.